children. What are we gonna do to show we care? How are we gonna be there for our children when they feel that life has just not been that fair?
Good evening and welcome back to Masks Weekly Radio Show on Family Matters. A very happy Hanukkah to all. Mask Mothers and Fathers Aligned, saving kids, kids of all ages and all stages for all mental health struggles, including addiction. If you know somebody that needs a referral for a therapist, an inpatient or outpatient program, please give us a call at 718-758-0400. I'll repeat the number. You may want to jot it down for yourself, a loved one, a neighbor, or someone you usually would sit next to and show. Our number again, 718-758-0400. Tonight, sadly, very bittersweet for me, I will be doing our last radio show. We will be on all the podcast platforms going forward, and Mask will continue with all the Mask programs. But this is very bittersweet. We've been doing this 5 years, and hope you'll listen to all our shows, past or future, on the podcast platforms. So for tonight, I'd like to welcome on once again a very popular, world-renowned Rabbi Dr. Ben Sion Twersky. How are you? Happy Hanukkah.
Baruch Hashem, and have a wonderful Hanukkah to you and to all the listeners.
Well, amen, and thank you for making the time to come on again. You were on so many times over the last 5 years, talking about so many different topics, but I'd like to really speak about the power of support groups. But before we get started on that topic, I just generally want to speak about your feelings. You have been doing the Mask support group, one of our support groups, on Wednesday nights for 27 years, from the first day that I started Mask. And presently, we have over 124,000 families that have reached out to Mask and attended our programs. And so much has changed in the mental health field for the good, really for the good, such as there are three very, very well attended conferences that both you and I are a part of and that we attended. I attended the Nefesh conference, where I'm an executive board member, where we had over 400 therapists. I attended the Aguda Mental Health track from Chaim Newhoff's track, where they had over 400 therapists, and not the same therapist attended both. And then there's the Neshama conference that I've attended, and they've had hundreds of therapists attend there as well. So I wanted your take of what you see has changed over the years in mental health for the good, please.
You know, it's quite interesting because at the time that I was entering the field of mental health, I mean, obviously it was under the shadow of my father, Zuchana Lebocha. And there were a limited number of mental health professionals in the Frum community. I actually labored quite difficultly back then to try to pull the psychologists together into one place at one time. And this is probably one of the predecessors to the formation of the Nefesh organization. But we pulled together well over 100 from psychologists from around the country, and some from the international community, at a convention of the APA, the American Psychological Association, which was in New York. And it was quite interesting because we were having, you know, one of our social hours happened to have been with a subgroup called Psychologists Interested in Religious Issues. And somebody said, "Hey guys, let's make a minion for Minnesota." And we did. And all these other quote unquote religious psychologists who are from other religions were wondering, you know, we're meeting all these years, and this is the first spiritual thing anybody ever tried to do. But there was, at that time, there were quite a number of us, but we were scattered, and somebody had to bring us together where we could not only address issues that we had in common, but how do we apply them to our own community? My early days working, it was a rare client that I had that was coming from a community. Over the years of my being in the field, I've watched the gradual breakdown of the stigma against mental health professionals. And maybe there are still pockets of it left, but things have begun to wither in terms of that, and the openness to being able to interact with professionals, psychiatrists, social workers, psychologists, has gone way, way up, to the point that the most right-wing yeshivas, if they don't have a social worker or mental health professional on their staff, they actually have somebody that they consult with when they have questions. Now, you know, obviously in schools and younger grades, it's well known that they have to have consultants for any of the various academic difficulties that some kids have. And if they're identified early, they can be managed well. That probably goes way back. But even now, but even with the older ages, you know, the openness is considerably greater now than it's ever been before. So for somebody to say, "Hey, I have a therapist and I have to see the therapist," it's no longer something that's an indication that somebody's defective or they're to be shamed. It's, hey, somebody wants to make their life better. And so that when I moved here, I 75 years ago, I watched this metamorphosis take place. And one of the things that happened is that having a background in working with the addictions, I became one of the go-to people by default, for both adults with drug and alcohol related problems, and the other addictions followed suit. And then, of course, when young people began entering into the world of drinking and getting high, and those conversations were well received because people were seeing that there were problems going on. And, you know, now looking at the patient population or the client population, we realize there's a lot of work to do. You know, some years ago, I was frequently consulted by people, young men and women going into the field. And, oh, where do you think I should specialize? Now, you know, I'm not the Navi that knows to tell them, you know, you should be this or you should be that. But as I would continue with the conversation, I began to wonder, hey, this person seems to have what it may take to work with the addiction field. And I would actually probe them about it. And they said, you know, it's funny you're asking that. I was taking a course in that, and it was really very interesting to me. And, you know, that sort of launched another whole arm of the concentration, where I'm working with people to help to help orient them to what goes on in the field of addiction treatment and recovery, all the while doing the same thing for myself so I could continue growing. And you know, the world today is a different world than it was 35 years ago.
Sure is. And like you said, the yeshivas do have therapists that are available to the students, and there's so many staff trainings and camps. Camps employ therapists and offer staff trainings as well. So let's go to the support groups. Talk about the power of support groups, because they are just seeing people move along and get the help and get invited to so many simchas all the time, where people are really getting help and you know, really building healthy lives. So I want you to give chizuk to those that do come on and let people know why they should consider joining, whether it's MASK support group or any other group. So if you can explain, please.
So I'm gonna give you two different parallel points. Point one is that when I encountered work within the addiction recovery field, you immediately discover the role of the 12-step fellowships, Alcoholics Anonymous, Narcotics Anonymous, obviously known with the alphabet soup of AA and NA, and all the other A's for the various addictions. So that support groups existed was something that, you know, I discovered quite early, and I went to quite a number of meetings myself, not just knowing some of the people there, you know, having worked with them, but I got to see the power of them. I'm going to say more about that in another moment. In my professional training, we were trained not only to do individual therapy, where we have an individual client or patient in the room, but we also discovered what it means to work with a group. And when you put together a group of people with a common common disorder and common issues, the power of the group becomes much greater than the power of the therapist with an individual. And the reason for that is that what we get to do as a group facilitator is we actually get the people themselves interacting. And you'll be surprised how much therapeutic genius can be in the mind of somebody who's overcome a problem, whether they did it with help or they did it on their own, but they've been there, done that, and experienced what it's like to have made changes in their lives. Now, what recovery is, and we talk about it with addiction, you're talking about a complete changeover of somebody's character, which is a precious thing to do, but it's very difficult to tell somebody to do it. It's like you get your patient in the office and you say, you know, you're just going to have to be different than you are. That doesn't work very well. But when you have a peer who's sitting in the room with you and says, you know, my dear friend, I tried what you're doing. It didn't work for me. Let me share with you how I got better. And when you utilize that, people get to hear from peers the same thing that they would otherwise reject if it's coming from the authority person sitting on the other side of the desk. So that dynamic becomes a precious one. So when you have a support group such as what we have, yes, I'm there to facilitate, and you know, being a group facilitator, you know, been trained in how to do that, but it's getting the people themselves to bring out what helps them. So yes, I will intervene and I will say, okay, my dear friend, you're describing such and such. How did you get better? How did you overcome that? What tools did you use? When we facilitate the conversations between other group members. Okay, so Mrs. So-and-so, why don't you share how you dealt with that, how you dealt with that issue? And it becomes extremely powerful, and people literally become, they experience growth that they could not get any other way. They might not have gotten it from a therapist as well and as intensely as they're getting it from the peers in the support group. So it's both the group facilitation, which was part of the professional training, but it's also looking at how support groups work. And they're precious. They're really precious. You know, I have to reflect back, because we've been doing this for 27 years. And I have to share that what goes on in the group is much that's still very, very much the same, but there's things that have changed a little bit. First of all, some of the issues that we're dealing with are not the same ones we were dealing with at that time. I did not have to deal with these gender identity issues back then. I didn't hear about them. Nobody in the group was bringing those things in. We had the kids doing hanging out at various locations, and the mothers were, were driving around trying to go find the kids and calling each other, I found your kid with mine in this corner and that corner and this hangout, whatever. We're not hearing that today. We're not hearing it because the kids are not doing that kind of hanging out. They're going somewhere to hang in. And it's a much different world today than we had. We did not have to worry much about people, about helping the parents whose kids were off to the races with smartphones, getting involved in all kinds of social media. Those things were non-existent back then. And these were developments that we watched happen and take over a huge amount of our kids and the parents' waking hours. That's a different dynamic. And we just have to accommodate and acclimate to some very, very new scenery.
Well, thank you. And yes, Doctor, we do see magic in our group over and over again, weekly, on a weekly basis. And kol hakavod to you for always being there for all the MASK families. And we continue, anyone that wants to join Dr. Korsky's group, please give us a call at 718-758-0400, and we will register you. And he still is doing group on Zoom. So please give us a call. Thank you again, Dr. Korsky.
Can I do one sales pitch?
Of course.
To the listening audience, it is such a worthy cause to help support the MASK office financially in any way that you can. It's a tremendous mitzvah. There is so much activity going on, and so many thousands, way over 100,000 families have had major amounts of help through the MASK office. It means so much to so many people. So please keep maskparents.org in mind.
Thank you. Please donate online to maskparents.org. Thank you very much. And we will continue with our program. We have on with us tonight Dr. Debbie Ackerman. Dr. Ackerman, it's always so wonderful to have you on, and you're always available for the MASK families, and you facilitate an amazing parent group by Zoom. So thank you for all of that. Happy Hanukkah to you.
Thank you so much, Rahama. It's really, I love working with you. I love the families. And in the spirit of Hanukkah, you bring a lot of light to our nation. So continued success.
Thank you. And like I said, when I opened our show to Dr. Twersky, that it's very bittersweet because tonight is our last show. We will be in the future doing podcasts. We'll be on all the podcast platforms and hope to have you there as well. So
please.
Let's talk about the power of support groups. I want to continue the conversation like Dr. Twersky gave his feelings of it. I'd like you to share the importance and of the support groups and how wonderful they are, the magic that you see in the group, please.
My pleasure. So support groups are really one of the best tools that people in mental health have in their bags or in their repertoire, I guess is a good word. We are people that like to be in groups. We are not born to be isolated. We like to socialize. Everything that we do in life is relational. We want to be with other people. And it's actually, you know, part of the Torah. You need 10 people for a minyan. And in times of greatest happiness, we have Sheva Brachas, a wedding, you need a minyan. And greatest sorrow, said Shiva, you need a minyan. So we're group people. We're group creatures. When we're going through something happy or particularly something sad, one of the worst things is to feel lonely in it and to feel like you don't have anybody who understands you. And the power of a group is that you might have the weirdest, most painful thought in your brain and you say it, and then someone says, oh yeah, I thought that. And all of a sudden, you are now not the one. Now there's somebody else to share it with. You're literally sharing your burden in a very non-judgmental, relatable way, and it's very healing. You're not alone. But the worst thing about suffering is being alone in suffering. And that is what the group does. That's the magic. And the magic is that people come in and they're the only ones with this problem and their life is falling apart and their problems are incredibly difficult. We've heard some real pain in those groups. But by coming back week after week with people, and we have people from California and New York and Georgia and Florida and all over the place, and you see there are other people and they're normal. I hate that word. You know, I hate that word. And it's really powerful. You connect. You're making positive connection. And it's a beautiful thing.
Yes, it sure is. And we're doing it for 27 years. Monday night, Dr. Debbie Ackerman. Thank you. Tuesday night, Dr. Shmuel Brachfeld. Wednesday night, Rabbi Dr. Ben-Zion Twersky. We have groups in Crown Heights, Five Towns, Flatbush, in person. But Zoom groups are great. You don't have to look for parking, leave your family, go out at night, call.
That's right.
Call to register at 718-758-0400. You can register for any of our groups. We have single dad groups. We have single mom groups. We have some in person and some by Zoom. Dr. Ackerman, my real last message that I would like to leave my listeners with tonight is the importance of seeing a professional and professionals having supervision. Can you elaborate on that, please?
You want to go out with a bang?
Yeah, I do.
I thought you were going to go out with something gentle. Yeah. So, you know, I've been really thinking about this now lately for a while, and I really see the relationship between a medical illness and a mental illness, because those are the words you want to focus on. It is a mental illness. And just like you don't want to be defined by your medical illness, you don't want to be known as, you know, Mary with the diabetes or, you know, Jim with the kidney problem. You also don't want to be known by your mental illness, right? You don't want to be Sarah the depressed or Eric the addict. Like, it's not how people want to be defined. So we want to look at the whole person. And just like in medicine and in mental health, you want to treat the whole holistic human being, their strengths, their talents, their hopes, their aspirations, their dreams. The same thing like in a medical situation. And if we're going to take that analogy further, you wouldn't go have surgery or your tonsils or anything by somebody who did not have the proper education, the proper supervision, the proper training. This is not just a conversation. We don't just sit and converse with people, right? People say, so what do you do all day? Like, right, I just don't sit in my chair for 8, 10, 12, 14, you know how many hours I work, and say, so how are you feeling? How are you feeling? How are you feeling? That would get very old after 30 seconds. It's a real skill, and it's honed through over 1,000 hours in school that you have to put in of work, over 3,000 hours that you have to put in to get a license, and the good practitioners, and I want to consider myself one of the good practitioners, are constantly having supervision, learning, getting certifications, keeping up. This is a skill. We are dealing with the mentally ill or people that have challenges. You have to know what you're doing in order to help people help themselves get better. And so I urge anybody out there, please go to someone who's had the proper training, who's licensed, who is having supervision, who is keeping up, and who really takes this really incredible job and profession very seriously and understands the honor and responsibility of working in it.
Thank you. And it's so important that we let everybody know that when you call a therapist to make an appointment, please ask them, who is your supervisor? It is an okay question. They need to give you their supervisor's name. Know that they're in supervision. Yep. I don't care if they're 5 years therapist, 10 years therapist, or more. They need to be in supervision. Right. Well, thank you, Dr. Ackman. Yeah. A very important
thank you,
message.
Rahana.
And
continued success to you.
Thank you. Amen. And I just want to say publicly, thank you to Zev Brenner for all the years that we're doing this show. And MASC is available for referrals, for support groups. We have a helpline for referrals. Therapist, inpatient, outpatient program. MASC has 3 after-school programs in Crown Heights for prevention of at-risk behaviors. We have CPR class for young boys learning CPR, getting credited for accredited. We have a lot of programs going on. Please give us a call for more information at 718-758-0400. And please go online, make your end-of-year donation to maskparents.org so we can continue with all of our programs. Thank you. Wishing everyone a happy Hanukkah. Bring the hostages home now. Tonight's show is an honor of all the Chayalim. Wishing everybody again a very happy Hanukkah, and thank you for listening to Family Matters every Thursday night for the last so many years. Thank you. Please tune in on our podcast, Family Matters. Thank you, and have a good night. Remember, hang in, hold on, hug tight. Thank you.
I remember when we found out we were expecting you and we were so surprised.
You were?
Yep, but then we heard your heartbeat and knew you were going to change our lives.
What happened after that?
Well, you grew and grew in my tummy. You started kicking, sucking your thumb, and even making a fist.
No wonder I was a surprise.
Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. We know every baby is a miracle and has the potential to do great things. This season, we hope you will consider supporting the work of Pro-Life Across America. We're non-political and totally educational. Your gift will help offer life-saving alternatives and pregnancy assistance to those in need. Visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org or like us on Facebook.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception. Pro-Life Across America.